Well, Church, how was your Christmas? I've got some thumbs up, I've got some pretty good. So, Christmas is a lovely time of the year, and I have to actually think back. It was only Wednesday, wasn't it? So it's not that long ago, but on Wednesday I started actually talking about how the good news is that we are transformed and renewed to be like Christ, to have that change within ourselves. Today we're going to explore a little bit about being transformed and looking at our Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 17 passage, and actually looking how we might be transformed and what are some of the ways and processes that we might be transformed. But I thought it was actually a really interesting thing that this actually came up today. It's actually one of the set-down readings, if you follow the lectionary, for today. And I thought it was actually a really interesting reading, considering the time of year that we're in, considering that for many people, in just a few days, they make a New Year's resolution. Has anybody ever made a New Year's resolution? Who's game out of go? Yes, I have. How many people here have managed to keep their New Year's resolution? That's always the interesting question. What I want to do is I want to kind of explore with you, just to start with, a few pieces of information about transformation, about changing our lives and how we might go about doing that. And just because this time of year is full of New Year's resolutions coming up, and not only just that, but it's a time of year when we sit down and we actually might reassess what's happening. I mean, we have a busyness of life that goes on, and we kind of, it almost feels like we run and rush headlong to Christmas. So we get to Christmas and then we go, ha. Huh. And it's in that little ha space before we enter back into the working time again, that we have this moment where we reflect on our lives and think about what we might want for the year ahead. The thing about New Year's resolutions is that they often fail. Statistically, most people that make a New Year's resolution will fail. It just depends on how far along that failure goes. Some, it's like 30 seconds after they've made that resolution. Others, it might be a day, a week, a couple of months, and the change that they wanted just doesn't happen. There's no transformation. I was reading a little bit, an article about the psychology of change and why New Year's resolutions don't stick, why it actually tends to lead to failure. And let me just put up on the screen for you. The clicker's not working. We'll go to the next slide. There you go. There are three reasons why New Year's resolutions don't work. The first is often people make unrealistic... No, we need to go back one. There we go. Tom, can we go back one? Oh, there it is. Okay. There it is. It's being really slow on the back up there. Okay. Three reasons why it is that the first is that they make unachievable resolutions. Like, I'm going to own a Ferrari next week. That's unachievable for me. Or it might be that I'm going to win the lottery or something like that, you know. I want to change I want to change how the world behaves. You know, the resolution is so large that it becomes unachievable, whatever it might be. It's just too big to actually achieve within that. You know, generally they would say that if you want to make a lasting change, achievable change, you actually need to make it in smaller bite-sized chunks, actually have something that will be done in little incremental steps and you'll actually achieve it better. There's the old saying, you know how to eat an elephant. It's not one mouthful, it's one bite at a time. So it's that kind of thing. You know, don't make it so big that it's unachievable. That's reason number one. The second reason is that they don't actually really want to change. You know, the reality is that at this time of year, people make these decisions that I want to change, but they really don't want to change. There's this saying that the pain of not changing has to be greater than the pain of changing for the change to really take place. You know, all change has pain associated with it. All change is painful. I've used this statement before. Nobody likes change, but change is inevitable in everything that we do. But nobody likes it. Not even babies, when they get changed on the change mat, they don't like it. But they feel much more comfortable afterwards, but they don't like the process either. It's just like the same for us. We just don't like that process of change. We're comfortable with where we're at. And the reality is, for most people, they don't really want to change because they're comfortable. The pain of what they're wanting to change hasn't got great enough to actually allow them to change. The final reason why most people actually don't change is that they're not ready for change. They're actually not ready because there are actually a number of stages of change that we need to go through. And they're not at that process where that change might take place. So we'll actually go to the next slide, which is just those quick little thing about the stages of change. And the stages of change are this. The first two are very much in your head. Being aware that there needs to be a change that happens. So awareness needs to be there. So we'll go to the next one. There we go. Awareness needs to be there. We actually need to actually be aware that that change needs to happen. Then there's a moment of contemplation where you actually have to think about, you have to realize that change needs to happen. Then you need to contemplate about how you're actually going to go and do that, you know. What might it look like if I actually make this change? You're aware that you need to do it, but what might be the thing and the consequences, what might happen if I make that change? And finally, the other thing is then we start to need to do preparation for it. And this is all before you actually get into making change. We think change is easy. We think transformation is something that just happens. But all these things need to happen beforehand. And then we get to the point of actually making the change. We get into action. We start doing. And finally, if we want transformation to be lasting, we need to find a way to maintain that. We need to figure out how we maintain that level of change. For these reasons, most New Year's resolutions fail and fail to bring any lasting transformations in people's life. You know, one of the biggest transformations you can make in your life is to accept Jesus Christ into your life. That's a major, major transformation that happens in your life. In choosing to follow Jesus and choosing to let God start give direction and focus for your life and having that change happen upon you is one of the biggest transformations you can have. And you'll notice that in those stages of change, we actually need to go through those first three things before we can actually let God change our lives. You know, if there's something that's going on in your life, you know, there's a bit of sin happening in your life, we actually need to become aware of it. So it needs to be made known to us. And then we actually need to actually realize that, well, what happens if I put that aside? What does it actually mean? What's it going to be? You contemplate what it might be like. And then you might go, actually, if I'm really going to change that, I have to prepare myself to actually have that change. I might need to spend more time in prayer. I might need to have a bit of fast. I might need to do these kind of things. And then we actually let the change happen. And the change happens, and then we go, how do I maintain that? So even those five steps are really helpful for us when we're thinking about how do we let God make change in our life and how we are transformed. You know, that radical life-changing transformation of God coming into our life is amazing. I'm really aware, and the author of the letter to the Colossians that we had read this morning, and we're going to focus on in just a moment, is the Apostle Paul. And Paul, and I just want to give you this framework, Paul had a massive transformation in his life. He encountered God, and massively, his life was transformed. It was changed. It was not the same as it was. It was made new because of his encounter with God. And when we read Paul's letters, we need to understand that he's working from that framework, that his life has been changed and transformed because of God's intervention. And so he sees that everybody else can actually have that same transformation, have that same change in their own life and own behavior because of what God has done. And interestingly, that is so profound that Paul is one of the ones that has written, of the 27 books in the New Testament, Paul is traditionally attributed to authoring 14 of those. And we'll just put the next slide up. And that's the 14 books that Paul is traditionally attributed to. So this transformation, this massive change in Paul's life actually meant that he wanted to go out and share that transformation, that God does amazing things and you can have that same thing that he's got. And he wanted to share it with and teach others to be transformed. And he went out and planted churches and wrote letters to them and did missionary journeys. He was transformed, made new, renewed. And in each of those, he talks to the church or to the individual about God's immense power and change that can happen. That's the reason why I was kind of highlighting that Paul here has that radical change in his life. Paul expects God to work powerfully and to change people's lives profoundly. And we find that when we read through Paul's writings, we find that there's an expectation that God is working in people's lives. There's an expectation that transformation will happen if you are a follower of Jesus, that you will put off the old and put on the new. So what do we see in today's passage that we've been exploring as Paul is encouraging the Colossian church to be transformed, to live a new life? What we'll do is we'll put up the first section of the readings that I want to have a look at, which is not the first part, but it's from verses 8 to 11 of Colossians chapter 3. So verses 8 to 11. And let me just read that again for you from... But now is the time to get rid of anger, of rage. Notice this. Notice what he's saying. He's expecting transformation. And part of transformation is realizing the things that you need to remove, to get rid of, to be transformed to something new. He says, but now is the time to get rid of anger, of rage, of malicious behavior, of slander and dirty language. Now, if there's anything, wouldn't they make great New Year's resolutions? You know, I want to get rid of my anger. I don't want to be as angry in my life. Isn't that a wonderful New Year's resolution that you could have? I want to get rid of the rage or malicious behavior. I don't want to slander people. I want to get rid of my, I want to speak more cleanly. You know, get rid of that dirty, you know. Don't lie to others, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, I like that, just throw the barbarians in, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters and He lives in all of us. Can you hear the passion that Paul has there? Can you hear the passion about change, about how encountering God brings a change in your life, and you shouldn't be living in the old ways. You should be removing those and being transformed and renewed as a follower of Christ. That's what Paul is trying to get them to do. And so often what Paul is having to do is write to a church in a location to overcome patterns of behavior that have been there ingrained in the society and therefore in the church for years and years and years. And so he's writing to help them to change and go, look, become aware. Notice that, become aware of these things. If you are a follower of Christ, be aware, this is not Christ-like behavior. be aware that if you are full of anger, full of rage, full of malicious behavior, full of slander, full of dirty language, this is not Christ-like behavior. Be aware and change. Ask God to transform you. Have God change you, because you need to put aside your wicked deeds and become more like Christ. And I love this, you know, and it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you've come from, because God can transform anybody. And Paul really has that. If God can transform him, he can transform anybody. How amazing is that? But why does Paul suggest this? Why does Paul want this to happen? If we go back to Colossians 3, verse 1 to 2, and we see this, and it says this: since you have been raised to new life with Christ. Notice this: if you've asked Christ into your life, if you said yes to Jesus, you've been raised to new life with Christ. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at the right hand. Think about these things. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Notice that. Notice that change of pattern of contemplation and thinking and preparation. You're not, you've been made new. Be aware, you've been made new. But start to contemplate what that means for yourself. Notice the change that is there. The realities that of heaven, of Christ sitting on the right hand, praying for you. Think about the things of heaven, not of this earth, and it will start to change your behavior, start to transform who you are. If we're going to know and experience God's will in a wonderful and overwhelming way in our lives, then we need to actually pray to God. We need to actually have that communication and conversation with God, and really asking for God to bring transformation into our lives, really ask for God to change our lives and be renewed in a new way. Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 2, and it says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. Notice that. Be transformed in the way you think. Paul says the same thing to the Colossians about our thinking and how that influences us and shapes our behavior and our priorities and our choices and all the things that we want to do. The change starts in our mind and then comes into action. So as we've been looking through, we've been seeing aware, contemplate, prepare for change to happen. And as we think about that, God is working powerfully in each and every one of us. God is working powerfully. Our personal prayer life is a massive influence in our thinking and our patterns of behavior. Our prayer life makes such a difference for us. It shapes the priorities that we have in our life. Is prayer the thing that you start the day with? Or is it the dear God, help me at the end of the day? Or is it the thing that starts and shapes what we do right now? The Apostle Paul not only says that we should put on certain behaviors, but he also says that we should put on certain new changes and new sets of behaviors. So if we go from verse 12 through to 15, we'll see this. And it says, since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must, and notice Paul's language here, you must clothe yourself with, and here's some of the changes, here's some of the patterns of behavior, here's some of the transformations that we could have if we ask God into our lives. Clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. Is this a transformation that you need to make in your life? to be transformed, to be more patient, to be more gentle, to be more humble, to be more kind, to show more mercy. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let me encourage you to be transformed by the renewing power of God working within your life. That the power changes, that God's power change our thoughts, let God's power change our character, let God's power change our very lives. Let us be transformed. Just as the Apostle Paul was transformed, may we be transformed to be more Christ-like in our life. That's my prayer and my request for myself, but also for everyone here today. Let's just pray. Lord God, we ask today that we may be transformed, we may be renewed in our love of you. May we be transformed from patterns of behaviours that reflect the world. Our Lord, may we be renewed so that we may show your love, your mercy, your grace working through our lives. Our Lord, we ask this in the power of Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.